The first scripture reading comes from 2 Corinthians 4, 1 to 6. That is from Paul's letter to the church in Corinth, chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. You can find that on page 180 in the New Testament in the Pew Bible or on the screen in front of you. Paul here describes Jesus, our Savior, as the image of God. We recognize that we have been created in that same image, and so we have incredible value. Let's read. Therefore, since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. We have renounced the shameful things that one hides. We refuse to practice cunning or to falsify God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience, to the conscious of everyone in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel and the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves, we proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Here ends the first scripture reading.
We all need to know that I, by far, have the best job in the world. Every single day, I have people stopping by or telling me how much they appreciate me, and people even drop off little reminders of their love for me. And I thought it was going to be difficult being here and living here and working here, especially over these last couple weeks because of all that's been happening in the football, in the NFL, what with my favorite player of all time, Tim Tebow, coming to Philadelphia, and then half of the roster of the Eagles actually being Cowboys, and when they were, what I don't understand is when they were with the Cowboys, they were convicts, but now they're Saints. I don't quite get that, but. But you have been so nice to me. You have been absolutely wonderful. And you've showed me actually how much you've loved me. I've received so many wonderful gifts. One is a bumper sticker of the Eagles, which was really nice. And I don't know who gave it to me, but Tim has joined us. How about you? That was nice. I think the person tried to rhyme and wasn't quite able to do that. And then I also received from you as well, which is really nice, a shirt, a T-shirt. I think it was kids extra small, I think is what you gave to me. So it's nice to feel that I'm loved, and it's nice to be a part of this group. A few more months. I hope you all came here today to be filled with your heart and your mind and your soul and your body with the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we do have a great message for you today, and it's not because of the person who's speaking it, but it's because of the words of the gospel, of the scripture that we read that gives us such a clear message. It's the most clear message I think that we're going to hear in a long, long time, and that message is what you see in your bulletin, that every single one of us is made in the image of God. Wow. I mean, just think about that for a moment. What does it mean? Brett already asked that question, right? But what does it mean, really, to say that we get our identity from being made in the image of God, especially today, when so much talk is about our identity, right? Where do we get our value? Where do we get our association? How do we define ourselves? We define ourselves, Scripture tells us, from being made in the image of God, not in any other way. So I hope you did come here to be lifted up in heart and mind and soul. Genesis makes it very clear three times. In these short verses that we're going to be reading in Genesis, we read that God created us. And then again, God created us in a specific way in His image. So here I'm hopefully here to tell you today a message that can make the biggest difference in our lives. If we're able to self-identify through being made in the image of God and not through some other way, it'll make all the difference in our lives. Let's turn now to Genesis. We're still in chapter 1. Sorry, folks. Chapter 1, verse 26 through 31. Chapter 1 of Genesis, verse 26 through 31. And we're finishing up the first chapter today. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the wild animals of the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in His image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." And God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruits, you shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything that He had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving God, I ask you now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be worthy and acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Now, this is a true story, but one day God and an engineer, genetic engineer, were arguing over something. True story. And the genetic engineer said to God, "God, I can make any person that you make. I can match you person for person." And God said, "All right, well, let's go ahead and let's see." So God got down in the dirt, created a human, and the genetic engineer said, "Well, that's easy. I can easily do that." So the genetic engineer got down and picked up some dirt, and God said, No. You have to go get your own dirt." Good luck with that. I hope you've been enjoying this series of sermons on creations and on creation, and I hope you're not getting bogged down on a lot of the details that we've been seeing over these last 5 days of creation that's taken us 2 or 3 months to get through. And I hope you're able to see the big picture, which we've been talking about almost every single week. And we're moving toward that part in Genesis where we're going to be able to see the individuals who are involved, all those wonderful stories that you learned about in Sunday school. And maybe if you didn't learn about some of the characters in Genesis in Sunday school, you've heard of them. Moses, we're going to be seeing. Oh, no, that's Exodus. Joseph, that's Genesis, right? And all the Abraham, Tower of Babel, all those stories that we've heard about and that we read about, we're going to be coming up on them. But until we get there, I don't want you to get lost in any of the details. When you were, and if you had kids growing up, I know for us at least, when we would say goodnight to them and we pray over them, they would always want to participate. Especially one of them would be the one who would always say, "I want to pray." And she was really, really small. I'm not going to say which one. She was really, really small. And she couldn't really say all of her words. And so she would begin and she'd say a string of unintelligible words. Then she'd say, Daddy. Then another string of unintelligible words, and then Mommy. And then another string, and then she'd say, Rachel. And then another string, and then she'd say, Bethany. Oh, sorry, Naomi. So you had no idea what those details, what she was saying. You just trusted she was saying good things about each of those people. But you didn't know the details. But you knew the greater point. That she is praying for Mommy and Daddy. She's praying for her family. Even though in Genesis we may not understand all the details of the account, the main point we find coming out right here in these verses. And that main point is that God is our creator and He is the one who gives us life. Today we arrive where all of the details were kind of facing a culmination. Today we arrive at the reason for why God created. Today we arrive at the point where God is able to say, this is why all those other 5 days took place, so that on this sixth day I could make you. So on this sixth day I can make a person. When that happens, we find then the very first encounter between God and woman. What I want to see is when we look at these verses, 26 through 31, I mentioned it briefly before, but three times it says very clearly that God created. Okay? Three times it repeats that. That's an important message. It is God who is the creator. That's the main overarching theme for all of the Genesis account. If you forget all the other 5 days, what you'll remember, I hope, is that primary message is that God created. And then today, as far as we're concerned, three times in these same scriptures, we find that message that we were created in the image of God. That we were created in the image of God. So that's the primary defining feature of who we are as people. Fundamentally, each one of us is created in the image of God. And this is important to remember because we're not just one of many creatures that God created. This past week we celebrated Earth Day, which is an important day for a lot of folks. But I just want to make sure that we never confuse the fact that we have been made in the image of God, and we have a special relationship with God that none of His other creatures have. We have a special standing in God's sight that none of His other creations have. This sixth day, this is so important, is so different from any of the other days because He created us. It's almost as if He's building up until finally, here's my masterpiece. Here's what all the other days were heading toward. We're leading up to. And after each day, God, of course, says it's good. But after this sixth day, at the very end, the last verse we read, verse 31, says it is very good. You can see God those first days being really excited about all of His creation. But then that sixth day really takes Him over the edge. He's just ecstatic. He's ecstatic with how He created. Think about this. How He created you. Okay, think about that for yourself personally. Don't make it a generalized statement. Make it a personal statement for you. God was ecstatic when He created you. It took Him over the edge. He was so happy. He was so excited that you came about. And that's the kicker. And if you've ever had one of those days when the world seems to be against you, you know, as if nobody really cares. You feel a little bit like on an island. What we read in this passage, and we see the trust and the love that God has for each one of us. Now, a lot of people have debated about what does it mean exactly when we say that you've been created in the image of God. Does it mean, like what Brett mentioned to the kids or what he asked the kids, what we look like? Is that what it means when we say that we've been made in the image of God? You know, Scripture reflects a God who shows emotion, a God at movement, a God who brings about change. Scripture tells us of a God who exhibits sadness and anger and gladness and joy. We read about a God who is love, a God who speaks, a God who acts, a God who does, a God who creates. All of these attributes that in some way we can identify with and say, hey, I can do all those things. In my life, I've done some of those things as well. I felt that way as well. And it goes a long way to describing exactly what we mean when we say that we're created in the image of God. But this is where we need to go to 2 Corinthians. If we really want to understand what it means when Scripture says that we're made in the image of God, turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians. And what Paul does here, and I talked to Sandy before the service, and I talked to a couple other folks. That's a really confusing Scripture. That's a really difficult Scripture to understand. And so what I did, which you should never do, is just take that one phrase that talks about Jesus being made in the image of God. Not being made, sorry. Jesus is the image of God. Okay, that's a big difference. And so if we're going to try to understand, what does it mean that we are made in the image of God? But Paul says, look at Jesus. He is a perfect reflection of the image of God. So people have debated back and forth, but Paul says point blank, if we want to understand what it means, look at Christ. And then after that, you know what he says? He says, take heart. Jesus is the image of God, and so we also are able to understand ourselves in that same way. So take heart. And it's supposed to be written, Paul wrote this to a group of believers who were kind of down and out, who weren't feeling great about their life situation because, well, things weren't going well for the early church in that first century. We can look back now as that was the defining moment in the Christian church, but as they were living through it, it sure didn't feel that way. It was pretty tough being a follower of Jesus Christ, but take heart. You have been made in His image. Look at Jesus as the goal for your life. He's not only the one who saved you, who allows you to have a perfect relationship with the Creator, but He's also the one who gives you a model and a guide for your own life. And we've heard this before, but just think of what a difference it would make in each of our lives if we would consider ourselves made in the image of God and be able to follow Jesus' lead. That's a big responsibility, I know. But we're able to pursue that. We're able to fulfill that. So if you've had a bad day or a bad season or a bad week, I want to tell you about a bad day that Rosie had. Remember Rosie, my dog from last week? A couple weeks ago. You know, every now and then she gets out of the gate in our house, and her favorite place to go when she gets out is down the middle of the street in South Decatur or Funk Street. It's okay because she doesn't dart in the traffic because she doesn't dart at all. So she just kind of saunters out there and just kind of looks around and enjoys her time of freedom out in the middle of the road. What happened this day, however, was the evening before, another owner in Strasbourg had lost their black lab. So called the police and asked them to look for it. And so that day when Rosie got out, it was the next day, Nick Ferretti, one of our officers, saw Rosie. Ah, there's the black lab that was lost the night before. So Nick, I think, chased Rosie around the block two or three times and wasn't able to grab Rosie, so he called the owner of that family who lost the lab, and the owner came and picked Rosie up and put him into his car, drove him out to Lititz, where his second house was, and gave him a bath, which was great. And by that time, I had texted our chief, and I said, "Chief, Rosie's missing. Has anyone seen a black lab?" And all I got back in the text was, "Oh, no. I think I know what happened." And we got Rosie back, and she slept for the next 48 hours. But she had a bad day. But this scripture in Genesis and also in Corinthians is given to us specifically for those times, I think, when we've just felt like we've had a bad moment in our lives, a bad season in our lives, to be reminded that God didn't just kind of casually make us, just with no real purpose or no real reason. No, there was a very deliberate process that was in place on the days of creation, that all of creation was leading up so that God could create you. There's been so much discussion in the news, especially lately, as far as who we are, right? How do we identify ourselves? Scripture gives us a very, very clear understanding on how we are to identify ourselves. What's the benchmark that we use? And it tells us that we see ourselves primarily drawing our identity by being made in the image of God. That's how we ought to see and understand ourselves. And in Genesis, when God created us, He created us. He didn't just create Adam. He didn't just create Eve. He created, and put your own name in there if you would like. And if you're feeling, sitting there in the pew, that, you know, this image of God thing, it's almost non-existent in me. I don't feel holy at all. What possibly do I have in my life that I can contribute to the kingdom of God? Look around you. You are looking at people who feel the same way. Take heart, is what Paul says. You know, right now, First Presbyterian is in the process of looking for church officers. We've had a little bit of a rough patch. It's early yet. It's not even the summer. Finding elders. And I think one of the reasons why is because people don't feel like they're worthy enough. And you know what I say to that? You're right. We're all right. None of us is worthy enough. We've been made in the image of God, but we're not able to do it on our own. Just like nobody ultimately is able to be happy on their own without Jesus Christ. But we can, with confidence, serve with Christ within us. If any of us is not involved in any of the activities in the church, and we come to church and then we go home and that's pretty much all we do, we can feel isolated. We can feel as if we're on an island by ourselves. Take heart and get involved in something. See how your image, see how the way in which you were created is able to be reflected in your activities and in your actions. And it may sound trite, but the VBS machine is in motion. So maybe that's your first venture. Maybe that's your opportunity to jump into something that's very non-threatening. But don't hesitate to contribute your time and your talents to God's church so that others may hear the good news that they have been made in the image of God just like we have been. In case you missed it, that was an appeal. That was an appeal to get involved. So today, I hope we are encouraged, and I hope we can take heart because each and every one of us has been made in that image of God. Put your name in the place of Adam and Eve's place. A God who loves us as a father, a God who cares for us as a brother, and a God who gives us the energy to work as only the Spirit of God can. Amen. Loving God, we do come before you now, and we thank you so much that every single person here in this sanctuary today can hear you say to them, "You have been made in my image." And I know, Lord, that each one of us comes from a different background, comes from a different reality, and our lives are mixtures of victories and defeats. And so pray, Lord, I pray at this time now that if anyone here has not been able to see themselves as made in your image, if someone here has not been able to embrace your Son and our Savior Jesus Christ completely and wholly, and so hasn't been able to turn over their lives in such a way that they've taken on your identity, I pray that that would happen. That they would offer up to you whatever is holding them back, whether it's their sin or whether it's their emphasis on something that is other than you. Lord, I pray that every single person who doesn't know you in a personal way will this Sunday morning be able to see themselves as being made in your image and just feel their hearts full of the joy of understanding that you love them so much and you want them to walk alongside with you. Help that to be a realization to all of us and to those of us who know you personally. Help us to renew that reminder that we're made in your image, and so we can be a part of your kingdom in such a way that we can cast off any burdens that may be in our lives. Help us to do that today, Lord, because that's why you've created us, to live our life fully and completely, not weighed down. And we pray this now in the loving name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.